Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for a daily editorial. This is probably the most fun that I have had in a long time, given what's happened in the last, I would say, 48 hours. A number of things we have to chat about. I'll name the first two, and then Jimmy will come in and talk about the last two. Obviously, we have to talk about the total lack of attention by the media to the results of the investigation that was started by the Republican Party and coming out with some very damning results on the Biden family. I think that the media should have at the very least, should have had some mention of that. But of course, they had none. And they tried to cover it up with the George Santos story. Take over here for a minute, Jim, would you?
Yeah, so it's very interesting, right? So yesterday, Jim Comer and the House Oversight Republicans, they came out and gave factual information. They gave documentation. They provided it to the media. And they gave a press conference explaining the connections that we talked about yesterday that the Biden family had with foreign entities and the amount of money that went into those coffers of the Biden family.
Right.
And it's interesting because MSN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, Washington Post, New York Times only focused. They didn't do any reporting on it other than maybe a slight mention. And even Fox Radio, Lisa Brady, who's the host for the daytime radio broadcast, she barely even mentioned it. Now, Fox TV broadcast it live, but these other networks focused primarily on George Santos.
Yeah.
George Santos is the, New York, not New Jersey, but New York Republican who, is apparently accused of lying. But they actually pushed a bunch of charges that are kind of questionable, first of all. He's innocent until proven guilty.
Hang on. A bunch of charges that are questionable on Santos?
Yes, on Santos.
Okay, for example, Jimmy.
Well, they're talking about that he made false statements to Congress, but he's a member of Congress. It's hard to do that. If you remember, Harry Reid stood up and said that Mitt Romney in the 2012 election did not pay his taxes and ripped off, $35,000 or something in taxes.
Yeah.
He actually has immunity on the floor. So it's hard to believe that they're going to be able to successfully prosecute that, especially when Republicans hold the House. And that it's a legitimate argument. And we know that Jake Sullivan, we know that James Clapper, we know that numerous Democrats have come forward and given false testimony in Congress, and they're not held accountable for it. But they arrest Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, and now George Santos. So that's one questionable one. Then there's some fraud charges that he used some of his campaign money to buy a suit or some fancy clothes or something like that.
Yeah.
These are all things that are going to have to be sorted out in court. But regardless of them, they're very small potatoes compared to millions of dollars coming into the Biden family.
Right.
Via Hunter Biden, while Joe Biden takes him along on Air Force Two, while Joe Biden is over in Romania talking about anti-corruption activities, and then Hunter Biden is paid by one of the corrupt individuals from Romania, and money flows directly into the family. So what it shows to me, and what it should show to everybody out there, that there is a massive organized effort by the Democratic Party and mainstream media organizations and corporations to deflect any information in conjunction with the Department of Justice to deflect any negative information that may go against Joe Biden.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very possible. Jimmy, let's continue on here. What's going on in Turkey? You were pretty excited about that earlier.
Well, I think it's a really interesting election coming up this weekend. So Erdogan has been... he's been in power for 20 years.
Yeah.
The Turkish government under Atatürk formed a very, very strongly secular government after the collapse of the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
That secular government was actually protected by the Turkish military. Over the last 20 years, as Erdogan took charge, he has actually Islamicized much of the Turkish government. away from that secularism.
Okay.
And it's actually pushed him farther away from EU and NATO. Now, he's been holding out on allowing Sweden into NATO, and he's been a thorn in many Western countries' sides because he bought the S-400 from the Russians. That's an anti-aircraft system, a very sophisticated anti-aircraft system that was designed to actually shoot down NATO aircraft. So he's been pushing for power regionally, and he faces a challenger this way. It's an elderly guy, 74. I think he was an accountant. And it looks like that Erdogan may be behind in the polling right now. Erdogan has become very authoritarian, and he's used kind of the populist Islamist message in Turkey.
Yeah.
This will be a very interesting event this weekend to see how it turns out. And there's a possibility that Erdogan could potentially lose. And of course, this will be based on how much support for the opposition comes out. And of course, as we all know, what corruption's involved in the election process there. So it'll be fun to watch. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because if Erdogan actually overcomes this this challenge, it'll be where he goes. If he moves more towards Iran, more towards Russia, more towards China, or does he, if with a new government, does he actually, does Turkey actually move back towards that the expansion it had with the West economically, and of course the relationship with NATO?
Yeah. Jimmy, I want you to do me a favor. I want to say one thing here, and this is a very official statement. Basically, what I want to say on the record, if anything that Jim and I talk about on this particular program is not true, and that statement can be proven by absolute undeniable facts, I guarantee you, and Jimmy guarantees you, that we will personally apologize on the air to whoever we have misquoted. But we need absolute proof that we have done that. And I'm saying this because I really want people to understand that this is not necessarily a program where the opinions of the hosts are really the opinions of two very angry people. We are a bit angry because we don't like to see where our country is going. But I want to assure you that none of what we say is based on 100% opinion. It is all based on everything that is in the day-to-day, I hate to say it, press. Everything that we say, for example, pertaining to the situation with the Democrats and what's happening with Biden, because I think this is going to get to be a lot more important. If you want to see officially what the Democrats said, I put up a video on our website. What they said is reported on that video, because all we're talking about is what they are saying on the record. Right, Jim?
Well, I just want to clarify one thing. I do provide opinion. So and my opinions can be wrong. I mean, we all can be wrong, and our recommendations or our thoughts or our predictions can be off. I try to keep with what information is available, and sometimes information comes out later that shows that maybe something was a little bit different.
Right.
And that's the reality. But I'll tell you, I'm going to protect free speech and the opportunity to provide information that I see at the time as true. Though I'm not going to be too worried about it if something else comes out and shows it different, because, oh, by the way, we can talk about that as well.
Sure.
And that's just part of the dialogue. That's the reality of free speech, and the reality of free thinking is to be able to expand and accept other people's ideas and change when it comes up. So
yeah, exactly. Jimmy, let's switch over to now. I think you outlined the situation with Turkey pretty well. Let's talk a little bit about Donald Trump's appearance on CNN last night.
Yeah, I think that's really pretty funny. CNN, I believe, was reaching out to try to expand its audience by offering and actually have a little bit of a boost in their ratings. They've had a tough time with ratings lately.
Right, they are, yeah.
By opening up this primary town hall in New Hampshire to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They are being hammered by the left, and even by their own people, because they allowed him to speak. And what they're saying is that he was spewing lies. But the reality is Donald Trump was providing information that many of CNN listeners and people on the left have not heard before, right, that the media shut down. He questioned CNN set this up in order to raise ratings. Sure. And Caitlin Collins did a horrendous job in trying to be neutral and trying to support a town hall. It is the contradiction or the comparison between any mainstream media interview with Joe Biden versus what she was doing last night to try to undermine what happened on January 6th and try to Trump's position on January 6th and try to undermine questions about the 2020 election,
right,
was embarrassing.
Yes, it was.
There are 75 million people out there. The polling suggests that now a majority of Americans, both Republicans, independents, and even a pretty sizable minority of Democrats, believe there were questions in the 2020 election.
Yeah.
So by saying that those are lies and they're proven false, that is a false narrative. They are not proven false. Just because they did auditing afterwards or they did another recount does not mean that the ballots that came into the system were legitimate from the first place. Remember, mail-in ballots, no valid ID checks, shutting down key counties, observers for hours, and all of a sudden the numbers change significantly. None of that makes any sense.
No,
those questions need to be answered. And the fact that CNN would come out and say that Trump was lying because he was asking those questions is absolutely terrible. I think it was a hugely damaging situation for CNN. They were attempting to make to reach out and show, to raise their ratings and to bring in more audience. I think in the long run, they looked so embarrassing that they will absolutely lose more audience because of the failure there.
You know, the one comment I would make, this is a personal comment. This is based on nothing other than kind of a feeling that I had. I thought that the gal who hosted the town hall was a little bit angry. And I think if you're a hostess of an event like this, that's really incorrect. That is really, really incorrect to do it that way. I think she would have gotten a lot more traction if she were civil and even a little bit perhaps friendly towards Trump, even though we all know that she probably really, really didn't like it. Now, I noticed that Wolf Blitzer, who I believe is a big shot at CNN, handled the situation totally differently in the few comments that he made. He was polite, and he really acted like this was an event of importance. In other words, putting Donald Trump in New Hampshire in the first town hall. And he kind of indicated by his attitude that he was glad that CNN had done that. So kudos to him in my mind, maybe not in Jim's mind, but in my mind, kudos to him. And quite frankly, kudos to CNN for, kind of getting behind this thing. I really appreciated that. I have never said...
Can I make a comment on this? You're going on a little bit. I want to kind of get back to what you had said about Caitlin Collins, if I can.
Jim, go.
Yeah, so Caitlin, I agree. She was angry.
Yeah.
And here's a big difference in the demeanor of Donald Trump in the campaign in 2015 and 2016 and even 2020 compared to today.
Yeah.
Donald Trump appeared to have control of the event. He also was rather respectful, with the exception of the comment at the end when he said she was nasty.
Yeah.
When he called Caitlin Collins nasty. But for the most part, his demeanor was much different than what you'd seen in the past.
Yeah.
And in spite of the attacks, he actually held it together and responded very effectively. That actually raised his profile to independent voters that weren't sure if he would be able to keep from becoming the angry guy that many of the media have portrayed him as,
right,
in the past.
Yeah.
So I think that was a huge advantage. And I agree with you. You know, by Wolf Blitzer and CNN taking the risk to do this, I think it was a smart idea.
I do too.
I think the mistake was having somebody that was so vicious and so creating such animosity and not accepting some of the questions that Donald Trump had raised or,
yeah,
some of the points, and continuing to argue with him made it look not like she was a journalist, not like she was supporting a town hall, but more like she was a partisan activist trying to undermine him.
Well,
and that
of
is
course,
completely
of course.
Contradictory. Yeah, to what the press is doing with Joe Biden these days.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I agree 100%, Jim. And the reason I agree is because we both said the same damn thing. Having said that, where do you want to go from here, Jimmy?
Well, I think today, you know, we probably want to close this up in a couple minutes, so, you know, we're not too long. But today is May 11th, and it's when the Title 42 actually goes away. The Biden administration has done some interesting things to facilitate mass migration behind the scenes. And of course, this new wave of individuals is massive. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people waiting across the border to try to come in. And of course, even AP, a lot of different agencies are now having to report, you know, news agencies are having to report on what's happening. It's rather embarrassing for the Biden administration that they had to reinstate some Trump policies to try to deal with the border.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fraudulent information out there trying to cover up the significant problems there. But there's one very interesting piece of information that I just read from the Center for Immigration Studies. They have identified that senior leaders in the Border Patrol have, on encrypted chat messaging, been communicating with Mexican officials across the border on the Mexican side.
Right.
And informing them when they should allow groups of migrants to come across the border on the Rio Grande.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Yes, I do. They're working.
They are actually facilitating border officials.
Sure.
U.S. border officials are facilitating mass migration across the border by coordinating with Mexican authorities to tell them when to let groups over. Now, the argument is they're trying to keep people from drowning in the Rio Grande, and to not overwhelm the U.S. immigration facilities on the other side so they can process them efficiently. But the reality is they're facilitating illegal activity and illegal crossings to the border in a mass way. And that is direct responsibility of the Biden administration and Mayorkas' Homeland Security.
Right. I agree. You know, it was interesting. My girlfriend was over last night, and we did watch the debate, and I was very, very pleasantly surprised to learn that the only thing that where she and I perhaps differed a bit in terms of our opinions was, number one, she is very definitely pro-life. There's no question about that. She is adamantly pro-life. And she also, if I read her body language correctly, she also doesn't think that China is necessarily responsible for the Wuhan virus coming into the United States. And I don't have a comment on that because I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I really don't. All I know is it was a real bad thing to happen to, you know, not only to our country, but to the world.
Well, the virus itself was not as bad as the response to it. That's the problem. But all the data right now shows that it came out of the Wuhan area.
Yeah.
It came out of the Wuhan lab.
Yeah.
After developing gain of function research on these bat viruses and this corona type viruses.
Yeah.
The question, really, the only question remaining is whether or not the Chinese did it on purpose or they just used it as an opportunity to leverage power. And of course, the Democrats, we know, used it as an opportunity to leverage power with the voting rules that they changed in order to avoid the previous laws that, after they put the lockdowns in place and after they didn't want people to be around each other. And they pushed that for a long period of time in order to keep control of the population and control the election outcome.
Yeah. Well, it was a real mess. There's no question whatsoever about that. I will say one thing. I did contact the disease. I don't even call them up, but I did get it. And I have to tell you, I'm in the high risk category. I'm a little bit overweight, and I'm almost 80 years old. And I have to tell you, it was not an unpleasant experience for me. That's not to say that it was a pleasant experience, but I sure as hell didn't die, and I'm still here rocking and rolling.
It is amazing how there was almost no flu for those 2 years, and then, of course, COVID deaths, but no flu.
Right.
that doesn't make any sense. And don't tell me it's because people are separated, because that's not the truth. What it is just people manipulating information and ignoring reality.
Right.
There was an article that came out in Science Magazine 2 days ago. I sent it to my science, my PhD theoretical physicist son from Caltech. And it basically said that about 30% of papers that are being published right now since 2020 in science periodicals are actually either plagiarized or just false.
Yeah.
30%.
Yeah.
30%.
Big
number. We have got a serious problem when we can't trust the honesty and the integrity of our system.
Right.
We can't trust it in politics. We can't trust it in the media. And when we can't trust it in science, that means we are on the verge of a collapse.
Jim, I got to ask you a question. I'm kind of in that direction. Why do you think that, and be as objective as you can, how come the only members of the press who really did some in-depth reporting on the Democratic investigation, or the Republican investigation, pardon me, are you and I? I mean, I posted everything that I could get to ensure accuracy, and no one else even mentioned it. You have to wonder why.
Well, again, because I think there's a coordinated effort with the Democratic Party and mainstream corporations that own these media outlets in order to silence information. And that is certainly through the Gates Foundation, the Gates, Microsoft networks.
Yeah, okay.
It's through Google, through Alphabet, through major organizations. Okay, there is a lot of information out on Twitter. A tremendous amount on Twitter, because Elon Musk has opened that up.
Yeah.
There is information on Breitbart. There's information on what Joe Rogan's probably going to be talking about it today. Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro talking about it. These what the left crazies are calling right wing extremists, these alternative media sites, are now becoming very prevalent in society, which is what's going to save America. Again, free speech.
Yeah.
By getting more and more information out through these alternative sites and away from the mainstream media. The numbers are diminishing, and I think that eventually, like CNN having to open up to try to expand its market by allowing Trump to go on to this event, the other media outlets are going to have to do this similar thing, because they're just not – they're entertainment, and they're angry entertainment anymore.
Right.
And I don't think that's –
they have evolved to that point. Yes, I would, I would agree.
And, and they're – again, these are globalist entities with big corporate interests in controlling their own destinies, but controlling our destinies as well, and controlling the government through influence. And
these are
massive influence operations.
Yeah, they
so
are.
So that's what's behind it.
Yeah, they're attempting to control our destinies, and that's BS as far as I'm concerned. Jimmy, where do you want to go from here, bud? We're up to 2308.
That's too long. I think we probably ought to go ahead and cut it for today and see what more pops up tomorrow. I do want to say, Tony, I was reading your frustration in America. I feel it, that people are not standing up. But I will tell you this. Look at what's happening in the UK. Look what's happening over there with arresting people off the street for silently praying in front of abortion clinics.
Yeah.
The massive immigration into London, completely changing the demographic in London. The violence there, the problems in the rest of the world are no different than what's happening here. It's just the U.S. media dominates most of the world media, and of course, people can easily get angry at what's happening here.
Yeah.
But it's happening everywhere.
Yes,
and
it is.
Your freedoms and the rules that are established to control mechanisms are much stricter in Europe than they are here.
Yeah.
And we've got to ensure that they don't continue down that road. We want to turn it around both in Europe and here in the United States as well.
Yeah, you do. No question about that. Hopefully all of us can have some input into making that happen. Jimmy, appreciate your time. I think this was a good one.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.